You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Rommel. David, we haven't spoke since Sunday about Russell Westbrook. We got on here. I did do a podcast, a crossover podcast from Vegas with some of the guys from Miami Heat Beat and Five Reasons Sports. You and I had a lot of things to say about Westbrook, and automatically, as we tend to do, we end up being the Westbrook haters. We come off as haters. I don't know how you and I keep doing this, because I also think that we are typically pro-Heat in a lot of ways, but I think we try to be optimistic and see the bright side of things, but as was the case with Hassan Whiteside, we were also very realistic, and as is the case with Russell Westbrook, we are being realistic, and now people are starting to call us out on that, and this whole show is going to be Russell Westbrook, so strap in, folks, because we're going to get into it here, because that's the thing that matters right now. But to start things off, I kind of want to respond to the people who responded to us after those podcasts, most notably on Twitter, which is, you know, it's a dark place. It's probably not the most representative place of our fans, but it's great for content, and it's great to get ourselves worked up, and that's great for content. So we'll start there. And I did get one tweet, and I don't even remember the handle, and quite frankly, I don't care, but some guy saying that after I had said I would rather have Kevin Love and Kyle Lowry, either one of them, over Russell Westbrook, some guy responds to me and says, "You're crazy. You need to watch more NBA basketball if you think that's the case." I had people telling me to stop recording podcasts, that I shouldn't be allowed to do this anymore. One guy to tell me that I need to watch more NBA basketball if I had actually thought that Lowry and Kevin Love were better than Russell Westbrook. And you know what? To say that they're... It wasn't that I was saying they're better, even though I would argue that they both are more impactful to winning. Certainly Kyle Lowry is, than Russell Westbrook. But I think that that's completely fair, given the situation with the contracts and things like that. I would say to that person telling me to watch more basketball that, no, you need to watch more basketball. That you're the one that really doesn't get it here. If you had watched any of the Thunder games over the since Kevin Durant left, I don't know how you could argue that Russell Westbrook actually impacts winning basketball. They haven't gotten out of the first round since Durant left. That's just a fact. And I get, like, you can... Yeah, he got to the playoffs. Yeah, he won an MVP. Yeah, he's averaged a triple-double. Here's the thing about Russell Westbrook, and I'll end my little rant here. He is not only a very polarizing player. The reason he is polarizing is that he is probably the weirdest test case of an NBA player. He is most certainly one of the most talented, most skilled players, most physically imposing players that we've ever seen in this league. But he just doesn't impact winning. And it's crazy. Most of the time, good basketball players help teams win games. Russell Westbrook is a good basketball player who's at best a net neutral and certainly has a very hard ceiling. So I'll end my little rant there. David, your thoughts?
I think part of the problem here is that people are not listening to what we're saying. And maybe it's not that we're equating Kevin Love or Kyle Lowry, or in my case, even my idea that Chris Paul are better players per se than Russell Westbrook, although, as you pointed out, those are all arguable points. But they are better fits on this roster with Jimmy Butler and whoever's left after making a trade for either Westbrook or any player, because they provide more outside shooting, because they play a modicum of defense. That's the thing with Westbrook, is that his defense, his reputation from UCLA, he hasn't lived up to that ever at any point in the league. I don't care what his steal numbers are. I don't care what he does. He is a very, very bad defender. He is a terrible on-ball defender. He takes chances, he gambles, and he loses more often than not. His rebounding stats, have you ever watched a game, whoever it was that tweeted at us, you know? Because those rebounding numbers are empty calories as hell. All he does is swoop in there as Steven Adams blocks off whoever else could potentially get a rebound. Because Steven Adams doesn't care about his own statistics. Because, quite frankly, he got paid to coexist alongside Russell Westbrook. So, Russell does a lot of things statistically. Absolutely. Triple doubles, great. Those are all empty statistics. Like, to average over 10 points per game, that's fine. He's a starting point guard on a team without anybody else capable of scoring other than Paul George. You know, his assist numbers, sure. He has the ball in his hands 45 minutes out of every 48 games. I mean, out of 48 minutes per game. I mean, of course he's going to get assist numbers. He's driving to the hoop constantly when he doesn't get a shot off, when he doesn't pull up for his cotton shot, that janky mid, you know, pull-up jumper. He's going to try and kick it out to somebody and hope that somebody will knock those shots down. But I mean, all these statistics are terribly empty. They don't contribute, as you said, to winning. I mean, I was covering the Thunder for years. I don't know what else to say here. I know the appeal of Russell Westbrook. He's very fun to watch if you're a fan because of his constant engine, because of his drive, because of his emotive, you know, demonstrative behavior on the court. He gets pissed off. You get fired up. You love it. That's absolutely great. I mean, he's 6'3", if he, barely. You know, he attacks the rim ferociously. All things that are fun to watch. But as far as that jumper is concerned, about his actual quantitative ability to score effectively, those things are lacking, and they're problematic. And so when you bring in a guy like Jimmy Butler, who needs the ball in his hands a lot, who also isn't the very best shooter in the world, and who needs to attack the basket in order to be more effective, pairing him with somebody like Westbrook, who doesn't space the floor particularly well, in fact, you could argue particularly badly, that's a problem. And that's why we're
talking about this. He doesn't move off the ball either. It's not like he threatens teams with cuts. He just, if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he doesn't work. Period, end of story. He's very John Wall like in that regard. And
well, think about what that offense was like with Kevin Durant there. It was pick your poison. Right. One of them would attack and the other one would attack, you know, and that was basically it. And that was at a point in time when Westbrook was significantly healthier and younger, and that shot was falling down a little bit more frequently. It still wasn't great, but at least it was a little bit more effective.
He needed 20 shots a game to score 23 points per game last year. That's everything you need right there. Triple-double. He averaged a triple-double because he shot 20 times a game to score 20 points. And because, like you said, he stole rebounds from Steven Adams. It is the ultimate empty calorie triple-double. And that's not to say that he's not talented. It's not to say that he doesn't have certain skills. It's not to say that he isn't transcendent in so many ways.
Yeah.
But there's a hard ceiling when Russell Westbrook is your point guard. And he would not be the best player on this team, on the Heat. Jimmy Butler would still be the best player on the Heat, and I don't think that's even arguable.
Ooh. I mean, people would argue it, for sure. I don't...
Well, they shouldn't. And if they do, then watch more... Like, watch the Thunder play. Just... I don't even need you to watch a whole season. Just watch the playoff series against the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard versus Russell Westbrook. It's not even close, people. It's not even close. And... I just can't get there with Westbrook, and I've been trying to talk myself into it because I'm talking to people at Vegas, and I'm back in California now, but I was talking to people in Vegas, and a lot of people seem to think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Yeah. And I'm trying to talk myself into that because I need to, because if Russell Westbrook's going to be under contract for 4 years with the Heat, I really just don't want to hate watching him play. But for the majority of his career, I haven't liked watching him play. And I just don't think he's good is not even a fair statement. He just does not impact winning. I don't know how much better the Heat would be if you add Russell Westbrook to this team. And I think that they would almost be worse, I could argue, if they got rid of real assets. Let's take a quick break here because there's another part of this, right? This idea that Eric Spoelstra can get through to Russell Westbrook. I'll tell you why. That's nothing but false hope. You're listening to Locked On Heat. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network's hosts on one Twitter feed, at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions, whether you agree with them or not, from the local experts during NBA free agency. Follow along on Twitter, at Locked On NBA Net.
Can we take a step there and kind of look at that last statement that you made there as far as the players that would potentially surround Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, Goran Dragic is a much better shooter than he is. There's the potential of trading away Justice Winslow as well. Like, all these players that you're potentially moving, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, all these players that you think are quote-unquote bad, they all provide a skill set that complements Jimmy Butler so much more effectively than whatever Russell Westbrook could be. I mean, that's the issue here, is that Westbrook if he's controlling the team dynamic, which he did when his during his MVP campaign, when he was shooting 24 times per game and shot almost 8 attempts from behind the arc and converted those at a fairly decent 34% rate, his career best. If you pair him with Jimmy Butler, that's not going to work. That dynamic does not exist when you have two players like Jimmy and Russell on the same team. Look, I mean, we're probably talking ourselves into this for nothing or talking ourselves out of this for nothing because, as you pointed out, it's likely to happen. But you can't just look at those in a vacuum. Like, Westbrook controlled that team. Nobody else on that roster, not Patrick Patterson or Steven Adams. Who am I missing from that 2017-18 campaign where he won the MVP? Because, I mean, that was the year after Kevin Durant left. Enes Kanter?
The 2016-17.
Oh, sorry. Year. Whatever year he won the MVP. I mean, nobody else on that roster was competing for anything. Like, they lost Kevin Durant in free agency. They re-signed Russell Westbrook. I mean,
Victor Oladipo was on that team. Yeah, he blossomed the next year.
Victor Oladipo, who was traded away for nothing, basically, to acquire Paul George. And nobody had any expectations that Oladipo was going to become the player that he was. Because he had to kind of take a step back and say, you know what? I can't play alongside Russell Westbrook. It's difficult to do so. Like, the shade of the version of Victor Oladipo that we've seen the last couple of years, or whatever, we had seen in Indiana a couple of seasons ago, that was not the player that was in Oklahoma City, stifled by Russell Westbrook's dominant play.
Yeah, I do think that Victor Oladipo did take just a major step forward anyway, but this Kevin Durant left Russell Westbrook. Paul George left Russell Westbrook. People don't want to play with Russell Westbrook.
I believe that's the case. And it's just the style of play that it's difficult. Look, it's fun for all-star games or exhibitions. It's fun for a fan as you're watching him attack the basket relentlessly. But you need some kind of ball passing skills. You need to be able to distribute the ball a little bit more effectively. You want it to be an equal opportunity offense. And those words do not equate to Russell Westbrook's style of play.
He dominates everything. And Jimmy Butler needs to be on the ball more. I've heard the argument that, well, if you've got, you're just sort of recreating what the Thunder had last year between Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
And
if
a lesser
you had Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. Right. Yeah, and Jimmy Butler's not the same shooter. He's a far superior passer. I don't love the Jimmy Butler to Paul George comparisons. I think that they're as players, they're right about equal as far as quality, but they're very different in the in the way that they play. And so Jimmy Butler to me is a guy who is most effective with the ball in his hands. We saw that in the playoffs with the 76ers last year, and he's really, really good at running pick and roll and passing. And he's a better passer than Russell Westbrook is. And I know a lot of fans will be like, Wes, you're crazy. Look at the assist numbers. It's more than the assist numbers. I want you, if you're the person saying this, to look at the usage rate, to watch a Russell Westbrook pass, because he doesn't make advanced reads. He doesn't necessarily bend defenses. He just runs at the rim. And if nobody's there, he'll kick it out to a shooter. And that's it. That's all that happens. Or more often than not, just dump it off to Steven Adams for the easiest assist of his life. So the assist numbers are also empty. And look, I don't think that we're crazy here. I do think that there's a lot of Heat fans that agree with a lot of what we're saying. And I don't mean to just call out, you know, everybody that's hating on us and all the trolls on Twitter or whatever. But there are a lot of people who agree with us. There are a lot of Heat fans who agree with us. And listen to anybody who really watches basketball, who does this for a living. I mean, Zach Lowe, who probably watches more basketball than any NBA reporter that I could think of, got on his podcast and said he would not trade a single asset for Russell Westbrook. Right. And I'll talk about what we should trade for Russell Westbrook a little bit later on if we have to do it. But he said he wouldn't trade an asset, not one. And I mean, there are people questioning, you brought up Goran Dragic before, there are people questioning how much better this team is. Like, how much better is Westbrook than Goran Dragic?
It's a different style of play, but I think Goran complements Jimmy better. Like, I mean, when Jimmy drives to the hoop, as he will, he's going to need a player like Goran who can, you know, shoot from the perimeter, who can create as well. He can be a secondary playmaker if that first shot isn't available to him, etc. Like, what is going to happen with Butler to Westbrook? Like, is Westbrook going to take a shot from 25 feet out? I mean, that seems to be likely the case, and that's not what we want. We don't want him shooting from out there. So,
and there's this idea that Ethan Skolnick brought up on our crossover earlier in the week, and I pushed back on him on the show, and I want to do it again because I keep hearing this idea that Eric Spoelstra can get through to him. Mm. David, you know I am the biggest Eric Spoelstra.
Absolutely.
Supporter, fanboy, whatever. I truly believe in Eric Spoelstra's ability to coach superstars. There is no better coach in the league, in my opinion, than Eric Spoelstra in coaching superstars. And the proof is that he got LeBron James his first championship, and he got through LeBron James and stuck to his guns. He's the only coach that LeBron James never got fired. So I trust in Spo's ability to get through to superstars. I think that he's really good at it. I trust in Spo's ability to organize schemes around his players and get the most out of them. A lot of people were telling me that Spo lost games for the Heat the last couple of years because of his lineups. I kept pushing back and I said, I don't think he's lost a single game based on his lineup decisions, because at the end of the day, there was not an all-star on that roster worth putting on the floor. It's not like he just benched somebody that was much better than the guys that were on the floor. Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. He's not getting through to Russell Westbrook. There is no getting through to Russell Westbrook. Look at what happened in Oklahoma City the last few years. Russell Westbrook, by the way, is 30 years old. He's not changing. He has no reason to change. He looks at his stats just like all these people that support Russell Westbrook look at his stats and say, what do I need to change? I'm averaging a triple-double. Nobody's ever done that other than Oscar Robert. Why would I have to change? Everybody else needs to just hit shots around me. You know, I won an MVP playing this way. I've gotten to the playoffs every year playing this way. Why would I have to change? That's the way he is. That's the way he always has been in Oklahoma City. They've gone through two different coaches. They have cycled through superstars to play next to him. Russell Westbrook has never changed. And Zach Lowe also made this point on his podcast. He said, you look at the quotes out of Oklahoma City for the last several years, and it's always the quotes are always the same offense about the offense going into the season. We need more ball movement. We need more spacing. We need to, you know, pass the ball better. And when they kept, you know, you fire Scott Brooks and hire Billy Donovan, Kevin Durant leaves, and Paul George comes in, you make all these trades around Russell Westbrook, you try to go get a point guard and Dennis Schroeder and get rid of Carmelo Anthony. The offense has never changed. And the only common denominator is Russell Westbrook. He's not changing. And maybe, and look, even if Eric Spoelstra were to get through to him, what does that look like? What does getting through to Russell Westbrook look like? Because I would argue, okay, let's say getting through to him is, okay, maybe the usage rating dips. He doesn't take as many shots. You know, he tries to play a complimentary role next to Jimmy Butler.
That's the best case scenario also.
And what is that? And let's think about what that looks like for a second. Okay, Russell Westbrook is a non-shooter. He doesn't space the floor. You nailed it early. He's got negative floor spacing ability. People just play off of him. He needs the ball to be effective because he can't space the floor. He needs the ball to be effective. That's the only way people pay attention to him, is if he has the ball in his hands. And so it's this double-edged sword where you want Russell Westbrook to have the ball in his hands, because if not, he completely collapses the defense in front of the other players around him, in front of his teammates. But if he has the ball in his hands, well, he just does dumb stuff with it. And let's say he didn't do dumb stuff with it. Okay, maybe he starts shooting more three-pointers? Is that what we want? No. He's a terrible three-point shooter. He gets to the line a whole lot more. He shot 65% from
that was an aberration. He's a career 80% shooter, so okay. I don't know what happened there. Maybe he was hurt or
his shot has deteriorated, it looks like. And that's my working hypothesis. So maybe, okay, let's say he gets to be a little bit better of a shooter. He's never going to be an elite shooter or an elite floor spacer. And that this is all with the caveat of Eric Spoelstra somehow getting through to Russell Westbrook. There's nothing to get through to. He does not have good shooting touch. He's not a good shooter. And that's what you need to build around Jimmy Butler and what this looks like. I just don't see this idea that Spo could somehow change him. He just doesn't have the ability that this team needs. He just doesn't. And like you said, he's not a good defender. Maybe he gets a little bit better defensively in Miami, but at the end of the day, I just don't see it.
The thing with Spoelstra is, and I think it's an extension of how people perceive the Heat culture, is that it can take any player and find a way to maximize their ability. And I don't even know that it necessarily does it as effectively as, say, the San Antonio Spurs. I would argue that the Spurs are probably a little bit better at taking a player with glaring weaknesses and finding a way to mitigate those, to hide them very
well. I agree with that.
And I think in Miami, the culture is based on the premise that hard work will set you free and will get you to become the ultimate version of the player that you should be. And I think that works in a lot of ways, mostly for players that are, you know, underskilled or perhaps haven't lived up to their potential elsewhere. They're on the cusp of maybe being out of the NBA, and they're looking for another way to kind of take their game to another level. That's fine. As far as getting to superstars, well, it helps when you have either the most talented player possibly to ever play the game, who just needs to tweak his game somewhat in order to be a little bit more effectively, and I'm talking, of course, about LeBron James, or B, that you have one of the most self-aware players in NBA history to recognize that although he's very effective shooting 18 to 19-foot jumpers, maybe it's a little bit better for him to kind of take a couple steps back to 23 feet and knock the jumpers out from behind the three-point line. And I'm talking, of course, about Chris Bosh. Did he ever get through to Dwayne Wade? Like, did he ever get through to Wade? And I know that most of their career has been, like, symbiotic and as far as the friendship and brotherhood that they've shared or whatever.
The but, one like, thing Wade's with Dwayne game Wade, evolved. The one thing, well, Dwayne Wade's game evolved in that he became an off-ball cutter next to LeBron.
Right. I think he was willing to do so. Like, to me, the thing is...
He was willing to do it, and he has an elite feel for that. We've not really seen that from Russell Westbrook.
Right.
That, to me, would be the only way where it works, where Russell Westbrook cedes the ball to Jimmy Butler and becomes this elite off-ball cutter who, within a blink of an eye, could be at the basket. And then he demands – he creates floor spacing that way because you can't just let him go. You can't just ignore him. But that would be the only way I would see where – let's take a quick break here. We'll talk a little bit more about Russell Westbrook and if we had to trade for him, what the Heat should be willing to trade for him. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Did you want to finish your point?
I think it's the expression, as hokey as it might seem, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Like, I can appreciate that Eric Spoelstra might be very, very good at getting through to superstar psyches. Like, to be able to relate to players, and he does his homework just as much as anybody else in the league. Like, he talks to other coaches and picks their brain, kind of sees what's most effective, etc. That's all great. I really appreciate the fact that Spoelstra is very, very good. Like, Goran Dragic has played for a number of great coaches over the course of his career, but he loves Eric Spoelstra, and I think he really appreciates the way Spoelstra has helped him, and that's all fine and good. I just don't know that Russell Westbrook, who's a proven player, who has already won an MVP award, who's already likely bound for the Hall of Fame. Like, all these things are already firmly established. I don't know that Russell Westbrook, at 30 years of age, again, having never won a championship, and I don't know that he's realistically going to win a championship in Miami, I don't know that there's any reason for it. Like, if LeBron was willing to make that change, it was because he had to win a title. Had to, in order to prove his legacy. Same thing for Chris Bosh. What's the appeal to Russell Westbrook? What are they trying to convince him of? Change your game completely, be a knockdown shooter, don't attack the basket the way you do, don't pull up for 15-foot jumpers. Like, how is he going to change his attitude and attack mentality so completely? I just don't see it. I don't know what the end goal for Russell is, and I don't know that Eric Spoelstra can help him see that.
And at the end of the day, you can't teach him
well, sure,
to do the things that he's just not good at. And look, all right, let me spin in a different way now, because there are a few reasons why Russell Westbrook would be good for the Heat. So let's take a look at those really quick. Right. And I'm not ready to go all the way in on the Russell Westbrook thing. There are a few things that I do like about the idea. Number one, the team would be better with Russell Westbrook somehow, some way. I think that we do tend to think too much about fit and complementary pieces and skill sets. Talent wins out in this league all the time. Philadelphia had one of the weirdest lineups ever, yet their starting five was the best starting five in the league in net rating last year, even though their pieces did not quote-unquote fit. Russell Westbrook makes the Heat a better basketball team. He's a better player.
Can I counter that by saying J.J. Redick had a career year?
No, there's things like that matter.
Okay.
I think that J.J. Redick also had a career year because he was playing next to four other All-Stars.
That's fair. Maybe Kelly Olynyk has a career year playing alongside Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. Sure, I get it.
So, having Russell Westbrook also opens the door to maybe getting the third or the fourth seed. That would be a lot of fun.
It would.
I don't know that door is open right now with the roster of the way it is. Okay. So let's put the pin in that for now. The other thing that I like about acquiring Russell Westbrook is that it makes the team very relevant, and this team has not been relevant for since LeBron James left, basically. And selfishly, because our podcast would do better, and because as far as getting more listens, as far as getting more attention on the team, that would be a lot of fun. And it's sort of sucked the last couple of years where nobody's even talking about the Heat on ESPN anymore. Yeah. This would get people talking
national
about the
TV
Heat again.
Games, etc. We might play on Christmas exciting. Day. I mean, yeah, there'd be a lot going on.
It's exciting. I get it, people. I get that you're excited about this. I'm excited. I see the pictures too of Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler in Miami Vice jerseys. You don't think that would be awesome? Yeah, it would be awesome until the team kept losing in the first round. That's where I stop. I think teams with Westbrook have hard ceilings. We've seen this over and over and over again. You could say, well, he's only ever played in Oklahoma City. Well, he's played for a lot of different versions of teams in Oklahoma City. Each one of those versions had a hard ceiling, and the one with the highest ceiling only had that because Kevin Durant is so capable, and there is no Kevin Durant on the Heat right now. So, all that said,
James Harden, Serge Ibaka. I mean, they were there too, you know.
And then this idea that okay, you get Russell Westbrook and Jim Butler, but then you wait 2 more years for the free agency of 2021, and then you get a third star. Are we sure? Just because you have cap space doesn't mean that third star is going to come. That third star has to look at Jimmy Butler and look at Russell Westbrook and say, those are the two guys I want to play with. No, and I don't believe in that. I don't totally buy in that happening. It's not like you can get Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, and the free agent in 2021. And when we're talking about 2021, we're talking about Bradley Beal and Victor Oladipo. Right. Those are the two guys. And I would venture to say that those guys probably wouldn't want to play with Russell Westbrook. That Oladipo blossomed when the ball was in his hands. That Bradley Beal is probably, after playing with John Wall all these years, probably doesn't want to play with John Wall 2.0. And so I would ask you, Heat fans, would you rather have Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook, or Jimmy Butler and Bradley Beal, or Jimmy Butler and Victor Oladipo? Because it's one or the other. It's not you get all three of them. It's just not going to be the case.
I'll offer one counterpoint to that from a player's perspective, is that maybe similarly to what we've seen with the Lakers in the case of Anthony Davis, that maybe even though LeBron is past his prime slightly, the there's potential to lead the team himself. Like, he could be the top player on that team in a couple years, should, you know, once LeBron's contract ends and should he retire at that point, which we don't know what will happen. So maybe you could look at Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook kind of dominating in 2021 and saying, you know what, I'll join them for the last couple of years of their careers, see how that plays out, and then eventually I'll be the top player in Miami.
Yeah, but I'm
not saying that that's likely.
I know you don't agree, but the counter to that counter, I understand what you're trying to do here, but is that LeBron James makes teammates better and has for his entire career, and Russell Westbrook has done whatever the opposite of that is.
There are some people who don't think LeBron makes teammates better.
But I think I think basketball players know that he does, and makes them a lot of money, and that's really what matters, because the basketball players are the ones making the decision. So, and obviously, a role in Space Jam 2 doesn't hurt. Russell Westbrook doesn't have that. So, there are other things that come into play with LeBron. And we've seen people flock to LeBron.
We have also
seen on the other side people leave Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I will say. That's a pretty interesting test in the sense that, like, you could argue that maybe it's the market, right? Nobody wants to play in Oklahoma City if you're a 25-year-old black man. I get that, right? I mean, that is a possibility. I don't know that there's a lot of appeal to play in Cleveland, but we saw that over the last 4 years before he left to Los Angeles, that it was certainly appealing to players. There were players on different points in their career said, yeah, I'll give it a shot. It's one thing to want to play in Miami with LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. I get that also. But I think you could argue that he was able to lure players to Cleveland as well. And that's because LeBron is, like you said, a player that players want to play with. Russell Westbrook wasn't luring anybody to Oklahoma City one way or the other. I'm sorry. There just wasn't a lot of examples of that. Steven Adams,
He re-signed because Oklahoma City offered him $24 million a year.
That's right.
And he wasn't getting that anywhere else.
And now they're regretting that decision too.
Right, exactly. That was probably the biggest problem with the Thunder, is that they couldn't get veterans like the Kyle Korvers and these guys to sign with the Thunder and help, you know, bolster that offense and give them a real bench and things like that. They just they never got those guys.
Right.
All right. All of that said, would you be willing to give up anything for Russell Westbrook? Because for me, I'm not giving up Justice Winslow. I'm not giving up Bam Adebayo. My sense is that the Heat are probably drawing the line at Bam Adebayo.
Yes.
That they might be willing to part ways with Justice Winslow. I talked with somebody in the Heat organization in Vegas, and they said that they would be willing to give up Justice Winslow for Westbrook. I stop short of that. I'm saying no. I would rather have Justice Winslow over Russell Westbrook. He's got a nice deal at $13 million. He's much younger. He's got a higher upside right now than Russell Westbrook has left. And I like the fit next to him, with him next to Jimmy Butler. Would you... I get there when also no draft picks, and I know that I've also the Heat can't trade a draft pick, but they could take the protections off of the pick that the Oklahoma City Thunder already have. I wouldn't even do that. I would keep the protections on that pick because, like we saw with the Chris Bosh blood clots, anything can happen in submarine a season. So I wouldn't take those protections off either. The only way I start thinking about it is if it's basically Goran Dragic and a couple of these long-term contracts, whether it's Deion Waiters or Kelly Olynyk or James Johnson. And that's it. And really the only asset that I'm really having to part with is Dragic is expiring, which teams don't want to seem to take anyway, so I don't know how much of an asset it really is, even though I would disagree it should be an asset, but, you know, they're not. It's not right now. And cap space, just, you know, future money. That's it. Those would be the two assets that I'm really getting rid of. I at least think about it then because of all the things I talked about, because it would make us relevant, because it would increase the ceiling of this team, even though there would still be a hard ceiling. This team right now also has a hard ceiling. And there's no guarantee that you get anybody in 2021 anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough position for Miami, to be honest with you. I mean, the pursuit of the pursuit of a superstar to pair alongside Jimmy and to see how far you can go with that team and what you're willing to give up. I understand why, and I think that the line should be drawn at Bam and Bio. Like, I think that if you trade Bam for whatever reason, then you're giving up, you know, the center position, and you're giving up a lot of versatility, a lot of playmaking, a lot of defense, and a lot of potential too, because we have not seen the ceiling yet for Bam Adebayo. And so I think you don't want to give that up. I think if it comes down to either one, Justice is the player you'd rather keep rather than Bam Adebayo?
No, I'd rather keep Bam.
Yes. You'd rather not give up either.
But if Sam Presti asks for either of them, I hang up. I say no chance.
I don't think you can hang up. But yeah, what about Tyler Hero?
No, I wouldn't give up Tyler Hero. None of them. I don't give up any of them. I do not give up any of them. To me, the offer out the gate is, we'll give you James Johnson and Deion Waiters. And they still like Deion in Oklahoma City.
Yes, they love him.
I would give you James Johnson and Deion Waiters. And I don't know if you probably need one more salary in there. I'd throw in James Johnson. I'll give you those three guys. Or Kelly Olynyk, whichever one I didn't say. I'll give you those three guys. We'll throw Myers Leonard in there when he's trade eligible.
Myers, like, Leonard, James Johnson, Deion Waiters for Russell Westbrook. So you get to Westbrook. I mean, you get to keep Goran Dragic.
Yeah, and then I move Goran Dragic somewhere else. Yeah, I move Goran Dragic somewhere else. That's my initial offer. I would move that offer up to Goran Dragic and those other contracts that make it work. Mm-hmm. But that's it. I'm not taking the protections off. I'm not giving up a single young player. No, no, no way.
I don't know where that line should be drawn, because again, I don't think
the Thunder have that much leverage. They don't have any leverage in this. I don't see the team. Charlotte doesn't make sense. They are tanking. They are rebuilding with this team. I think they really want to do it because
Detroit,
it's kind of their only.
What's Detroit's offer? Have we heard any details regarding what the Pistons might offer?
It would have to be Reggie Jackson and contracts, and they just do they do that.
Does Detroit do that?
Because I don't even know if Detroit really can't offer them the salary cap space that the Thunder are looking for. They don't have the expirings that make it work.
Hmm.
So if you're the Thunder, I just don't see why. Like, even if Detroit would be willing to do it, I don't see why the Thunder would do it. It's not like they're getting out of this cap space. Like, if the only reason they do it is because the Russell Westbrook thing is untenable.
Right.
So I'm not ruling them out. It just also doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. and Dwayne Casey and that group, the moves that they made, it's not a great roster, but they've been trying to make the right moves. And I don't want to take the ball out of Blake Griffin's hands. He's a better player than Russell Westbrook was last year. He at least helps them more.
I think Detroit would absolutely make that move, given where they've been.
Like, yeah, they also need to fill the new arena, which is right. a big deal.
Yeah, and ownership it's different. Force like, their hand. Like yeah, fans come right. to Miami, and not only that, but they had Dwayne Wade last season. They had Dwayne Wade for most of the last four seasons after LeBron left. They had LeBron there. Yeah. Like, what has Detroit had over the last? I mean, they won a championship in 2004. And yeah, they're still kind of cashing in on that. That's been a while for them. So I don't.
The fan support's really bad, and ultimately, I think they would make the move. I just don't see what the Thunder would do it for. And there's no like the Knicks can't do it. They don't have the things that make it work.
So we're looking at two teams that are capable of making that move. It's either Detroit or Miami, and given that, then Miami certainly has a lot more leverage.
Yeah. Also, because the Thunder can. What are the Thunder going to do? Well, Detroit's offering us this, and the Heat could be.
All right, take it.
Fine. That's the deal you want. Okay.
Like, what about the idea that
he could beat that deal with one player, and that's Dragic?
What about Zach Lowe's proposal that they'd have to sweeten him because Russell is a negative asset?
See, now you've really got me thinking there, because this idea that if the Heat can get one of those picks back and Russell Westbrook, and all it costs is Goran Dragic and another contract, I almost think you have to do it if you're the Heat.
I agree 100%.
Okay.
100%.
All right. Well, there we go. That's the deal that we'll take then. Let's end it there. Let's just end the show there because... that's a good spot to do it. That's it for today. Connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Send those mailbag questions in now. We'll be back later in the week. Thanks for listening and thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.